You can always count on him to use some humor to lift us, can't you? So today his message is about affirmative hope. Let's welcome our own Reverend Richard McDeasy.
Ah, thank you, Gail. I never get an introduction when I speak, you know? I thought my talk was going to be a little short today, but now I think it's even right out. Thank you for that. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the first week of Advent. So, yeah, I thought I might start with a little Christmas humor, because we all need some humor to get by, and you can share these little short, pithy riddles from children ages 7 to 11 with the grocery store clerk or someone in your family to put a smile on their face if they're looking like they're stressed by Christmas. Just shoot them one of these babies. Okay, the first one. What music do Santa elves like best?
Jingle bells.
Rap music. Good one, huh? That's Macy, age 8. Why was Santa's helper so sad? He had low elf esteem. Good one, Thomas. What did Mrs. Claus say to Santa when she looked up into the sky? Looks like rain, dear. These are good, right? It's kids. How much did Santa pay for his sleigh? This is my favorite. Nothing. It's on the house. Isn't that great? Becky, age 8, thank you. What's the best Christmas present in the world? A broken drum. You just can't beat it. Yeah. Who delivers presents to pets? Santa Paws. And the last one, what do you call an elf wearing earmuffs? Anything you like, he can't hear you. Thank you, Becky, age 8. Okay. So as you may already know, Advent is the season of anticipation, preparation, and it takes place the 4 Sundays leading up to Christmas, the birth of the Christ child, and each week has a theme for us to contemplate. Now, metaphysically, Christmas symbolizes the birth of the awareness of the divine, or that Christ's presence within us, that divinity that Jesus so fully exemplified. The Advent season is just preparation for that sacred event for us. So there's a little history about Advent that I found interesting. Originally, back in the fourth and fifth centuries, Advent was not tied to Jesus' birth. Instead, it was a season of preparation for the baptism of new Christians, for the Epiphany. So back then, when someone wanted to become a Christian, they had these 4 weeks of preparation, and then they baptized them on the Epiphany. Now in the sixth century, the Roman Christians, you know, made it all about Jesus. And they celebrated not only Jesus' birth, but they celebrated his second coming. So this was 500 years later. They probably thought, any day now, he's going to be coming back. And it wasn't until about the 13 to 1500s that Advent took on the form that we see now, celebrating Jesus' birth, first and only so far coming. And traditional Christianity presents the 4 weeks of Advent, beginning with hope, then followed by peace, love, and joy. Now, as you noticed in our daily word, it's not uncommon for Unity and other New Thought churches to substitute faith for hope, or to include both, or faith in addition to hope. And perhaps that's inspired by the scripture that faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, we're going to contemplate both faith and hope today, and as we spiritually prepare our hearts for Christmas morning. So first, what's the difference between hope and faith? So hope is this beautiful word, you know, it has so many good connotations. It's usually identified with positive things. Whatever follows the word hope is usually something that you really want in your life, something that's good, something that positive you want to happen. Like, I hope this is a good day. I hope I can lose this Christmas weight before summer. You know, I hope I can find the right gift for my wife. For Christmas, I hope this talk goes well, that kind of hope. And when we use this hope in this way, we can see that hope is kind of like, it's an unclaimed desire. It's an unclaimed desire. And, you know, like, this is what I would like to happen, but I'm just leaving it up to the universe. You know, that's how we use hope most of the time. Now, in Unity, we teach affirmative prayer, we teach the law of mind action, and the awareness of our own divinity. So with affirmative prayer, we speak what we want to be true as if it were true in this moment. We learn to claim our desires, not hope for them. So I can see where hardcore metaphysicians might take issue with this concept of hope as a valuable spiritual tool. You know, I don't hope I find the right gift for Paula. I affirm, I draw to me now the divine idea for the perfect gift for my wife. I don't hope I lose this weight before summer. I say, I now release all unwanted weight from this body temple easily and effortlessly. I affirm it. This is how we see faith and unity as the assurance of things hoped for. So in this way, hope kind of becomes the illegitimate child of faith and doubt. It's somewhere in between. It's a little of both, somewhere in between them on the scale. Unity co-founder, Charles Fillmore said this about hope. Hope is a product of the sense mind because it places our attention in the future, whereas faith is a divine attribute of God that is used and activated in the present moment. And here it is put a little more poetically. Hope is the ability to hear the melody of the future. Faith is the courage to dance to it today. Good job, author unknown, who that is. So Fillmore's not knocking hope. He's just saying that as a technique for manifesting good in your life, hoping places the power outside yourself into the unknown. So I wanted to see what Jesus thought about hope. And oddly enough, I looked through several versions of the Bible and ended up finding two scriptures where Jesus uses the word hope. The first one is in Luke 6:34, the King James Version. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thanks have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Now, in some of the modern translations, hope is replaced by expect to receive. But in this case, we can see hope is the verb, right? Hope, hoping to receive. And since man's behavior is radical, right? You don't have any control over another's actions. When you lend someone money, you can only hope that they're going to pay you back, right? I affirm this person's going to pay me back that I lend money to. So Jesus is using hope here in a very pragmatic and practical way. But how do we maintain hope as a legitimate theme for the Advent season? There's one other scripture where Jesus mentions hope, and it's in John 5:45, the New International Version, where he says, "Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who accuses you is Moses, in whom your hope is set." Now, hear the word hope. It's a thing. It's not an action. Right? So there are two types of hope. There's the verb hope, the hoping for something in the future. But then there's this noun, hope, a thing that is given and received in the now moment, not in the future. And this is where we find the true gift of hope in the example in the life of Jesus. You see, Jesus never tells us to hope. He said, "Have faith in me," not "have hope in me." He said, "Ask knowing you will receive," not "ask hoping you will receive." Yet Jesus himself was a great symbol of hope. He gave hope to his people. The star in the east gave hope to the Magi. The birth of Jesus gave hope to people in slavery. And this is the kind of hope that happens to us, the kind of hope that is given as a gift, like grace. So say you're diagnosed with an incurable disease. There's no hope for a cure. But then the doctor comes in one day and he tells you of a new treatment or medication for this disease. Suddenly now you have hope. You've been given hope. There's a possibility of a cure in your mind. You're not hoping for a cure, but you were given hope. Now this hope turns into a possibility in your mind. This possibility becomes a vision, and you begin to see yourself healing. What if this does work? I'm seeing yourself healing and becoming well. And then that vision turns into expectation or anticipation. And when you start expecting healing, that's the seed that's planted for faith, right? Until you're finally declaring, "I'm an expression of perfect health. Mighty currents of healing love flow through me now." You begin affirming your health. So you see, hope goes from possibility to vision, then expectation, and then faith, the assurance of things hoped for. Faith pulls you out of victimhood and powerlessness. So hope, we see that as a necessary step toward the process toward faith and affirmation. Now, there are folks in the world that have very little faith, and they're not able to affirm their good in this moment. And we think of the people of Ukraine or Palestine, for example. Perhaps they're feeling hopeless right now. Yes, you're welcome. But we can give them hope through your support and prayers. We can give them hope by posting a powerful, hopeful affirmations of peace on social media. We can give them hope by holding a vision of peace for them. It gives them a starting place, kind of like tolerance. You know, tolerance is a necessary step to love. You know, it implies that you're putting up with something you don't like, right? Now, you don't want to stay there. You don't want to stay in that place of just putting up with something you don't like. But tolerance is the first step in helping you move to acceptance and then to love. And in the same way, you don't want to remain in hope for a hopeful outcome in your life. You want to move that focus from the future to the truth of the power of the now moment where faith can do its work. So now with this little bit of context, I want to go back and read a little portion of the Daily Word because I thought it was very powerful this morning. I may hope for lasting peace, greater love, or abiding joy, but as I have grown spiritually, I have learned to look for these things within, to claim them as expressions of manifested for my divine identity. And once I do that, I may begin to see them manifest in my life. Faith is how I begin to bring my hopes to life. There's a beautiful Daily Word today. So for the first week of Advent, think of hope as a gift you can give to others. You can do that by being hopeful yourself. Have you ever seen these hopeful people? They're always bright. They're always looking at the bright side. They're always seeing the best in everything. It kind of lifts you up, doesn't it? You can be that for somebody. You can give somebody hope. You can be the Johnny Appleseed of faith by planting little seeds of hope around all around this season. Now, here are some ways you can give hope. The first way is, and I love this one. I've never done this, and I'm thinking about it. Volunteer to ring the Salvation Army bell. You see those people standing out there. Some of them are grumblebees, but some of them are like, hi, Merry Christmas, how are you doing? And it's just like when you see them, it brightens your day. You get a lot of good cheer in a short amount of time. And you can set up your own time by contacting the Salvation Army. There's one just a block from here if you want to do that after church, by the way. Number two. Donate toys to underprivileged kids. If you know underprivileged kids or families that are having a hard time with Christmas, you know, donate toys to them. Or you can just simply bring in a stuffed animal here. Let's all hold up our stuffed animals again. I love to see them. We'll get it. Oh, they make twice as many as last year. Awesome. Bring in another stuffed animal next week. It goes to children with AIDS. Number three, you can take flowers, cookies, or cards to senior centers. In another job I do, I go to a lot of nursing homes and senior centers and play music for them. And it's just a beautiful thing. Something so small, bless you, something so small can make such a big difference in their day. Something small like a plate of cookies, a bright bouquet of flowers. If you know somebody in a home or you know somebody who knows somebody in a nursing home or a care facility, ask them about being able to go there, bring some flowers or cookies, bake some cookies, or hand out some nice affirmative cards to people. That gives the seniors a lot of hope. Here's one. Play Secret Santa to a family in need. If you know a family in need, give them a gift, but don't tell them where it's from. It's a beautiful feeling to do that. If you don't know a family in need, we have an angel tree. And this angel tree has cards. You can pick a card and buy a gift card for the amount on the ornament that you choose. And those gift cards are used to support families in need throughout the year. Five, this is one of mine, give a Daily Word subscription as a gift. It's a wonderful gift. It's very affirmative, and it'll give someone hope throughout the year. And finally, and I mean it, invite a friend to church, whether they're online or in person. Can you imagine anyone leaving a service here feeling hopeless? There's no way. You bring them in, we're going to brighten their day up That's a beautiful gift to give to somebody. So Jesus' greatest gift to the people around him was hope. Sure, he had some great lessons, but the hope was what enabled them to hold that vision and obey, you know, and follow Jesus in some of the tougher mandates. He gave them hope for salvation. He gave them hope for freedom, for their own land. Jesus gave hope to an impoverished people, people who could not go directly from where they were in consciousness to affirmative statements of truth. I was going to say affirming the truth. But he inspired and empowered his people, and that gave them hope. So this brings us to Colossians, known as Charles Fillmore's favorite and most powerful scripture. And this is written by Paul. I have become its servant. He's talking about the church. I've become a servant of the church by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for all ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And the saints were followers of Jesus. They call them saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is together Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, I feel tingles whenever I say that. So even though we do not want to hope for things that we want to draw to ourselves, we can give hope to others this season. And if hope is inspired within you, you can nurture that hope through possibility, vision, expectation. And just remember, it's very important. The same Christ Spirit that has given people around the world hope for millennia is alive in you right now, right today. So this season, it's about the birth and the rebirth of that divine awareness of the power that Jesus had within him. We have that same divinity within us, and that is Christ in you, your hope of glory. Let's take a few moments for meditation now, please. So as we take a breath and exhale into this room, we can picture our breath just commingling, becoming one. And when we bring our attention into this now moment, we all become one. We all share in the infinite possibilities that are available to us right now, right here. The power within us that's available to us right here, right now. And as our mind is in this now moment, we take another breath. And just allow our attention to go deeper and deeper, stopping at the heart, breathing into the heart center. And just allow this morning to fade away so that you have alone time to yourself within. And in this space, I want you to think of a time when you felt hopeless. Maybe it was during COVID. So many were losing hope. A time when maybe you received an unwanted diagnosis. A time when perhaps you felt hopeless for another. Just recall now that feeling of helplessness, of powerlessness. And now with your next exhale, picture in your mind the Christ child laying in the manger, surrounded by the shepherds, a little glow and aura around him, the child of hope and peace and love for all humanity. And think about how this precious child grew into the man who demonstrated God's love to all people, the man who could give hope to the hopeless. And as we enter into some time of silence, just ponder that awareness, the truth, that divine presence that Jesus so fully embodied is also present within you, awaiting expression, inspiring you to give the gift of hope to those you meet. Just think about that for a few moments in this silence. And as we ponder these ideas of faith and hope, I'm over here. For this Advent season, I want you to seek out opportunities to be bold and to encourage and to empower all you meet. And if there's an unspoken hope inside of you, turn that hope into a vision until you feel that vision inspire possibility, expectation, eventually a powerful faith within you. For this awareness and the awareness of the divine within, we give thanks, and so it is.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression your unfolding peace. Show, Spirit, show through me as I open up to see an expression of your unfolding.